You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Do not follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. Do not follow the official Clock Radio Speakers podcast, Twitter at CRS Podcast. Do not visit clockradiospeakers.com. Do not visit clockradiospeakers.com, which is powered by Tumblr. Do not visit our Facebook. I mean, shoot. we don't even visit our Facebook. But no, if you're a Facebook person, the show still feeds there, all that good stuff. So yes, visit that. And then of course our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers. And then of course this episode is powered by the good folks at Fourth District. And again, Clock Radio Speakers isn't Clock Radio Speakers. It'd really be like ADOSP without this guy. So Doc, what's up? What's going on?
Wow. I'm still thrown from the Drake record you played for me over Skype for like 5 seconds and then asked me if I wanted to talk about it. What's going on, everybody? This is Doc. You can follow me on Twitter.
Now you know how I felt when you asked me to talk about Barter 6. I at least tried to give it a shot because it was Drake.
You can follow me on Twitter. Yeah, at @Doc_beats. That's not a Z. As always, use the hashtag #ClockRadioSpeakers when you talk about the show. So, once again, we took a week off.
Yes, we did.
I've been traveling for work. I needed a little downtime. I'm still a little thrown off. Like, I don't know about you, but like the older I get, we're going to turn this into an old man show real fast. The older I get, the more I'm a guy of routine. So like, I have things I do on the weekend. In fact, I have things I typically do Saturday and then Sunday I do this. I had 2 weekends in a row where I wasn't around or I was traveling. So I'm all thrown off.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. How was the... I saw you on Instagram in an arcade, and I really wanted to like comment on every single picture, but I didn't want to like be like real thirsty. I wanted you to just enjoy that moment and then just talk about it on the show.
So first, let me talk about what I did the weekend before. My company had an on-site. Since we're an entirely remote company, we were in the hills in La Jolla, which is just north of San Diego. Multi-million-dollar house, hot tub, swimming pool, grand piano. We could have shot a rap video there.
I was going to say, so basically this was the R. Kelly and Keith Murray Home Alone video.
You know, wasn't too far from that.
Did you have a two-tone leather jersey with the matching
durag? What's crazy about those is people wore those when it was warm.
What, leather jerseys?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't you just have that on for like 10 seconds and you're like, nope, it just comes right off.
Yeah, we don't wear leather nothing. And, you know, leather's popping now. You know, people wear leather sweat. This is how I know we're getting old.
Leather joggers?
leather sweat suits. Not just, like, the joggers with the sweat, like, the sweat suit material is the patch. And then, like, a matching sweatshirt. Like, fam, you ain't... I'm hot right now just describing the outfit. Can't even do it. Ain't got no motorcycle. With autumn leather patches on.
We're gonna change the cover art for this show. Just be you and me, photoshopped to look even older than we already are. We're gonna be on a front porch and rocking chairs. It'd be like an animated GIF for a cover. Just us rocking back and forth.
I thought you were gonna say that you were going to Photoshop your and I's heads on Lawrence Fishburne and Ice Cube's heads in Biker Boys, since we were talking about leather.
No.
Nah?
No. There's only one Ice Cube movie we talk about, and that's Friday. The rest of them?
Oh, wait. We could actually...
After Friday. But yeah, anyway.
What, next Friday?
No, I was going to say, because Boys in the Hood's good, obviously.
Oh, of course. Classic. Could we Photoshop a picture of us on the Nothing to Lose movie poster? Would that work?
Let me guess. I don't get to be Martin Lawrence. Just hypothetically throwing that out there.
I mean, I'm sure somebody could do it.
Anyway, please do not send any Photoshops with the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Anyway,
I'm not going to find that funny, nor will I retweet it or post it or respond.
So. This man's full of lies.
I totally won't. Trust me. Trust you me, bro. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, and then this past weekend I was in Philadelphia for a conference for work.
Philly. I had so many Philly jokes I wanted to tell you. So many Philly rapper jokes I wanted you to do. But
I left the state property gear at home.
I told him he had state property business casual. I had it all mapped out. Like his slacks had like 7 pockets.
Anyway, yeah, I was in Philly. There's this place in Philly called Barcade, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bar with an arcade. The deal is, though, it's arcade games from not just when we were growing up, but even really before we were growing up. Because we went in there and we wanted Street Fighter.
Yep,
of course. Street Fighter. It was mostly 80s and early 90s.
Oh, really?
But they had, like, remember, like, the Neo Geo where you could not, where it wasn't just Samurai Showdown, but it was, like, a whole bunch of other ones, too?
Yeah, it was, like, six games in one, but the only game that played Samurai Showdown.
They had that. They had the Turtles arcade game in there.
Yep.
Like, all these old classic 80 ones, but the 80s games. But what was great is it was the 80s and 90s prices. Like, it was a quarter for a game.
Oh, they still charge y'all?
Like, it was...
You got to come Ohio, G.
Oh, you got free arcades?
Yeah, we got a we have a barcade called 16-Bit, and all you got to do is buy a drink.
Mm.
All the games are free, and they got Street Fighter, Mortal
Kombat. Oh,
got
everything. You don't have to buy a drink at this place. Like, you can just stroll in pretend it's a cheap arcade.
I don't buy a drink. I go in there, and I play video games and leave, but the idea is to buy a drink. Okay. Yeah, they got everything from, you know, Super Mario to The Simpsons, Killer Instinct, NFL Blitz, NBA Jam. Like, they got Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they had NBA Jam Tournament Edition. I got stuck playing the Knicks, which was miserable. But it was all
good. I want to talk about the one game that you took a picture of.
Contra.
No. I mean, we can nerd about Contra. Sure. Yeah. I want to talk and slander another game, but Contra. Man,
it took me. It was funny. Like, I'm sitting there and at first I was really shaking the rust off, but then I just, like, slipped right back into it. And then I was like, nah, this game was hard even then. Like, I didn't feel too bad. But yeah, me and the guys I was there with, we all looked at each other and we were like, games used to, because one of the guys I was there with, he plays games now. Like, still, like, I'm not really playing games that much now, but he's still playing them. And he's like, these games were way harder. I was like, yeah, that was the whole deal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my. Go play. I was driving back. Well, I'll talk about my weekend in a minute, but I was on a road trip this weekend and I downloaded a Super Nintendo emulator. And I'm like, I'm just going to play Super Mario World. And I beat it the whole way there. I got the world 1-3.
You were like, nah, B.
Started having trouble. Like, fam. Your motor skills are still on point.
Yeah, I was all right. I was all right.
Yeah. So the game I really wanted to talk about with you.
Mm-hmm.
Was Terminator 2.
Oh, what an awful game.
Let me tell you something. So I took a friend of mine. We went to the arcade. We went 16-bit arcade maybe about a month ago, and we decided to play this game. And the good thing about not, you know, playing with controllers or playing with quarters and stuff is you beat the games that you never beat as a kid. So I beat The Simpsons, you know, the Simpsons game. You beat Ninja Turtles. First off, there's no way that none of those games get beat. There's no way. You literally have to have $50 worth of quarters.
Right.
Two. So we play Terminator 2. It takes us 45 minutes to complete the first mission.
Oh,
the
man.
The first mission.
Getting old, man.
Like, No. It's not that we're getting old. The game was really just that long. Because all we did was just hold on to the trigger and just move around the screen and kill robots and blow stuff up. For whatever reason, like, after 600 billion trillion thousand bullets, you have now completed level one. I left.
Yeah, they didn't really have, like, that nice, like, mid-90s surge of stuff at this place. So, you know, no Street Fighter, no Mortal Kombat, NFL Blitz. None of the, like, the Sega games like Daytona 500 or Virtua Racing even. Or that's what I, like, if there would have been Virtua Racing, it would have been all over. I pretty much would have been there the entire night. But
no Cruising USA?
Nah, man.
Cruising World was better than Cruising USA.
Oh, man. I was Sega growing up. Never mind that Nintendo 64 BS.
Hey, bro.
Anyway. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. But we're back at it. So that's why we took the... Long story short, that's why we took a week off. I apologize, y'all. Had to keep my mind right. My money right.
Now he's ready for war. Myth Bleak is...
No. Myth Bleak is shampoo commercials.
Chill. Myth Bleak is a really, really, really decent discography.
Myth Bleak is perpetually one hit away.
Money holder, shot roller, gun smoker, high roller.
Close. It's close, I think. Anyway, what's good with you, man? What's new with you?
Man, I've been on my deathbed for the last week. I had a show in Cleveland last Friday, and... Of course, you know, on Friday when you have something to do after work, like, everything goes wrong. So I left work late, literally had enough time to run home, change clothes, get in the car, pick my friend up that I had the show with. And we made the trudge Cleveland's about 2.5 hours from Columbus. We had to deal with Columbus traffic. The show started at 8. Doors open at 7:30. We got there at 9. Didn't get to eat. Didn't get to do much of anything. Got there, did the show. Fortunately, the church that booked us, really, really gracious. Shout out to Nobles. We did the show. Show went well. Everybody was great. It was really cool. Hung out. And, you know, I had to go back because I had to be somewhere in the morning. So we drove back. I didn't get back till 3 a.m. Had to wake up at 9, get on the road again, go to Cincinnati, which was another 1.5 hours. I was running around Cincinnati all day, helping my friend do some stuff. Did not get to eat until way, way late, but found a really, really good diner in Kentucky. It's called Anchor something, but it's really, it was really, really, really good diner food. Got back to the city, kind of hung around, but, you know, I hadn't been eating. I hadn't drinking water, you know, and normally I'm good about that. Like I eat and I definitely drink water. I drink gallons of water like they're shots. So, but I didn't drink any water. So my body wasn't used to it. And Monday I messed up and I had some freaking hotcakes and sausage like an idiot. And those three things, my body was like, okay, now what are you doing? You need to chill. And I got this really bad headache and I started getting these chills and I got hot. And before you know it, I was done. Like I was on my couch, curled up, sweating, cold, had the crazy headache, head was spinning and
like the rims were spinning.
Yeah. like PT Cruiser rims were spinning. And I did not get all up. Today was the first day where I woke up and like I was okay. There was nothing wrong, because then it was like it evolved into my nose was stopped up, or I had a cough, or I didn't have appetite for 4 days. Then on top of that, while I was sick, my mom surprised me, and you know I had to drive to St. Louis to go see my mother or my grandmother for her 90th birthday. That was, so my mom surprised me with a surprise to surprise my grandmother for a birthday. So that was a lot. And then got back in time for the fight, et cetera, et cetera. And like today is the first day, but I'm still very, very tired. Still, my body is still clamoring for nutrients. I can't really walk up the steps without my legs sort of burning and hurting a little bit. So I'm out of here. So I was good to nobody, last week. There would be no Clock Radio Speakers last week. It just wasn't going to happen. Even though you were out of town, like it just wasn't going to happen. So
it's good. We took a week off. So we got a little catching up to do.
Yep. Funny, speaking of sick, rapper pun, we have our guest here. All the way from H-Town, Tulsa, Oklahoma. My boy, Dre Murray's here with us. What's going on, sir?
What up? What up? Appreciate you guys having me, man.
I think you were the first
podcast, and you know. Go ahead, my bad.
No, you good. You good. That's my fault. I think you're the first reoccurring rapper on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did do something like a couple years ago, right?
Yep. People still talk about that episode.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
They sure do. it was anytime we do a Christian hip hop episode, like it gets there's some conversation involved, but some of the things that you and Kim were saying, like people were really taking to heart, because y'all was pretty much calling for the death of CHH, the idea of it.
Or
it
had whoa.
Hold on.
You putting words in my man's mouth here.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
Here I am stirring the pot. Keep going.
The idea of what it is, right? Or not?
No. I feel that, but I didn't call for the death of CHH. But the idea of what it is, and which is kind of funny because, like, me and Witt have been talking about this. Just, I think that what I was trying to communicate, it's kind of one of those things, like, I'm not in any way comparing myself to Kanye, but you know how Kanye has a great idea? But the way he tries to communicate it, because it's such a futuristic idea, or it's something that you really have to be in tune with what he's trying to say. You won't get it unless you're on that same quote unquote wavelength. So I feel like a lot of the stuff that I was trying to say that some people maybe took it with it, and now like the game is all messed up. Like it's just like, I mean, and that's not to say that, you know, I directly affected everything that's happening, but for stuff that's going on right now, it's like, that's not what I was talking about, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I was saying or what I was trying to communicate. So, you know, we feel kind of bad for that. Like, you know,
yeah,
that whatever effect I had with what we did with kind of stepping outside of the box, I kind of feel like I had some part in that a little bit. So.
Mm. Interesting. You
know, yeah, man. It's because it's getting bad out here, dog. It's getting bad. When I meet some of these cats, and like the mindset is like, you know, and then they'll reference Hell's Paradise, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. I hear that myself. Yep.
That's not what we were. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
You know, it's kind of like the guy that can. I think it goes back to the whole conversation, you know, about hip hop, when they compare hip hop, and then they, you know, the rappers always bring up movies, or Jay-Z says, you know, Scarface the movie did more than Scarface the rapper to me. It's like, it's almost like that, to where like Hell's Paradise was an alternate world. Like I was actually,
yeah,
it's just my crazy imagination. But a lot of people like took that, and dudes are like really talking about, not saying I wasn't talking about real life issues or things, but they're like, it's just straight emo stuff now. Like,
yeah,
it has nothing to do with any kind of resolution. It's just,
yep,
I just feel terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the world sucks. Like, there's just, instead of it being this storytelling, it now is just this desperation and disparity. Like, I listened to one joint. I'm not going to say the cat's name. Real. I could tell he was young, but it made me, like, I almost wanted to cry for dude. Like, dog, you need help, bro. Like, you shouldn't even be recording, dog.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's a whole nother episode, bro. Like,
yeah,
we need to
swing back around then. So, but
yeah.
let's get into since you talked about forward thinking and forward ideas, a topic that we have been discussing a lot lately has been Jay-Z's title.
Yeah.
And I was gonna say, and Doc has been, of course, shooting
critical.
Wake up, sheeple. No.
last week, it was announced that on, I think it's what, May 13th?
Yeah.
Jay-Z is doing an all B-side concert exclusively on the app.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the idea of that as itself? Of itself?
I think it's late. He should have done something like that as far as B-sides. Like, well, I shouldn't say it's late, because I mean, he does have the app now, so he kind of capitalized off of that. But that's something that I would have thought, you know, he did a long time ago, which he, you know, kind of did it with Reason Without Joint, where he performed the whole album. I mean, it wasn't his whole catalog, but he did perform songs that a lot of people haven't heard ever. So this is kind of an extension of that. But I mean, that's a dope idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to answer the question that I had, which is, you know, when they talk about exclusive content, and that's why Tidal will be different, we were wondering, well, what does that mean? Does that mean videos? Does that mean other stuff? Or does that mean, no, like, this album will only be available here? And we don't know for sure yet, but they're definitely going down the path of, Tidal doesn't just get you music, it gets you this other stuff too, which is interesting. I don't know if it'll work, but it's interesting.
Go ahead. My bad.
No, and I mean, so we all know, I mean, we can be real cynical and say, hey, it doesn't really matter if he puts it title only, because somebody will figure out how to record it and get it in the highest possible quality, and anybody who knows how to get things online will be able to get it. But that's not really the point. Like, the point is that for the people who do want to acquire stuff legally, right, the people who right now use iTunes, or if they use Spotify or Beats or something like that, or Google Play or whatever they're using, like, here's this alternative that works the same way, except you've got this extra bonus content. It's like the DVD extras and commentary strategy, right?
Right.
I don't know if that will work, but it's an interesting tack.
Yeah, nah, I think it definitely will. Like, the streaming game was like right around the time we dropped like Hell's Paradise 2 or a little before. We were trying to figure out like what we wanted to continue, and that was one of the streaming ones. I saw like the beginning of that with the people trying to figure it out, you know, trying to get directly to the user. But, you know, they weren't doing it on a large scale, so they weren't. You can always see the beginning steps, and it's like, man, you know, I can build off of that or implement that and just expound on that a little bit. What they're doing, though, like, I saw that coming. Like, and I guess because I was so entrenched in just everything that was going on with, like, the streaming services and researching and like, trying to dive into it myself, like, I see the end result already. And I talked to a lot of people that, you know, that don't see the end result. And I feel like that's, like you said, you didn't know what the exclusive content was. Like, as soon as I downloaded, like, back first announced it before, it was back when they were still had the old website. Right. I did the free trial and I downloaded the app and I tried out. And so it sucked. Like, I mean, it was terrible as far as like the speed and all that. But I saw that the first thing I noticed was that they had video. They had video back then. Like,
yeah.
The artist videos were up. And I was like, man, that alone is going to kill it. Because not just with music videos, like a lot of people think, oh, it's just music videos. But like what do we grow up on, dog? Like, we, you know, the Streets Is Watching and, you know, Baller Blocking and all these hood, you know, straight to VHS music video / movie joints. Like, to make something like that, or even the, like the VH1, like there's not shows like that anymore. Like the VH1 Behind the Music or the MTV My Diary and all this kind of stuff. Like, there's not stuff like that anymore. We just have YouTube, and you gotta, you know, search through a bunch of, you know, fluff a lot of the times. But if it's the artists that are actually controlling it, it's back to Streets Is Watching. It's not a bunch of people that think that they're journalists asking dumb questions. Like, now I'm not going to YouTube. Like, I'm going to go straight to Tidal to see, you know, it's kind of like Revolt on steroids. Like, if they could, you know, hire people to actually interview these artists, or, you know, they have personal assistants already, they're going to just upload the stuff and they are able to control this content, like, and curate it. I mean, the game is locked after that. Like, I mean, because you got some of the biggest artists in the game already, and off rip, when you look at their fan bases, like you said earlier, you were kind of, I mean, joking about the sheep thing, but that's what a lot of the fans are. I mean, you tell them, hey, I got a song here, it's only available here, they're gonna go. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen the official numbers, but I just feel like over time it's gonna be something that's gonna be a force to be reckoned with. And people don't see it right now, but like, they did something, man. Like, to go directly, it just, again, it just brings it back to the Streets Is Watching for me. Like, they made that. Like, Jay and Dame and Biggs made that. No, there was no middleman. There was nobody telling them, you know, what to do. It went straight to us on VHS. Master P did the same thing. So now they're taking it back to that. And who better? I mean, you know, Jay-Z knows that game. I mean, he came up off of that game. So, like, I think it's a brilliant idea. Spotify is going to continue to try to hang on. And people, you know, the people that don't really know about Tidal are going to stick with it. But the people that are really, really, you know, the dudes that used to have Streets Is Watching and watch it all the time are Backstage. Imagine if they did something like Backstage and threw it up on Tidal only. Like, we'd be fiending for that.
Well, that's just this. I mean, the real question is, can they keep the exclusive stuff on Tidal? So far, they haven't been that successful. As soon as something exclusive launches, somebody gets it online. Yeah.
Well, did the J. Cole concert, did that leak?
I don't think anybody cared about that.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be the rude one. I mean, so right now the numbers aren't good. Like the early, like, you know, you could just go, like, if you just go into if you have an iPhone, you go into the App Store, you look at where Tidal is ranked in terms of popularity. It's not real good at all. Granted, it's still really early, but what it'll depend on is.
I also heard Apple did some shady business with that.
I'm sure they did.
First of all, Apple would be like the government would be. They were all over them. They're all over them for everything. Like they'd be all over them for that too. I don't think it's a shady business. I don't understand why it's so improbable that maybe the app just isn't doing that well.
The music business isn't shady. Like they Apple is considering themselves like a part of the music business now because I'm hearing
they have Jimmy Iovine.
Well, yeah. So you don't think that like they wouldn't do some petty stuff to kind of thwart any sort of forward movement of any of their competition?
Tidal's not their competition. Spotify is their competition.
I think Tidal.
I don't know, man.
Nobody's using Tidal. Like, I'm really serious. Like, it's not there yet. It's an interesting idea, but like, it's not there.
I know, but you got to understand, like, if you're, I know Steve Jobs is dead and gone, but I'm just talking about the mindset of those type of people at that level. They're not looking at the now. Like, they're looking at what's going to take them out 5 years down the road. So
right,
even if they're just starting, they're going to squash them so that they don't make it to the next round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all I'll say is they could be, but they could be doing anything. There's people said that because they saw that the rank was low and they couldn't figure out why except to say, well, Apple must have done something. Nobody ever thought to themselves, maybe nobody likes it. Maybe there's no reason to have it yet. Now, again, they've still got a whole lot of potential ammo to use for Tidal, right? All those big name artists, like if they're real serious about it, the ones who are co-owners, they'll just put their stuff exclusively there. Like we're not there yet. Like it's still really early, but the B-Sides concert, that's a really interesting thing. Like that's not a mass market play. Like that's a fan play. And that's a really interesting angle.
But that's what Jay's been saying from day one. He wants to cater to, he's obviously going to cater to his audience. I think I'm going to sign up for Tidal just to see it. I have to see a B-Sides concert.
It's okay. You'll find it online later.
I want to see it live.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see it live. I want to have that experience because I've been clamoring for a B-Sides concert for years. I'm making playlists. It made me like go through YouTube and find old records like From Marcy to Hollywood from the Players Club soundtrack or What the Game Made Me from the I Got the Hookup soundtrack or like trying to figure out what records off of each album could Jay perform, what's considered a B-side. Like,
right. I'll say this much. Since he is going after fans, this has got to be a pretty lengthy set list because if it's only... I realize I'm saying only. If it's, say, 90 minutes, there's going to be, like, five records that Armand's going to walk away with going, nope, he didn't perform these. Like, he's just got to make sure that expectations are set appropriately.
Okay, what are – I'm going to ask y'all this just for fans' sake. Both of y'all give me two records that you'd like to see that may not be so obvious choices.
Two records I'd like to see that might not be obvious choices.
You know what would be crazy is if he did. It wouldn't really work live. But just to throw it out there, if he did 1-900 Hustler or even something else with, I'm trying to think of another joint from off like the Dynasty and Beans came out.
Streets is Talking. This Can't Life.
Well, right
at the beginning. What's the joint at the beginning? But that was a single, though, wasn't it?
I was going to say, this is an interesting question. What does B-sides mean exactly?
I guess just the joints that weren't popular. Not popular, but that were like the strong joints just for the album. So like the joint with Juvenile on Volume 3.
Oh, Snoopy Flow?
Yeah.
Snoopy track, yes.
Something like that would be, you know, if he brought Juvenile out during that, like it would be a double effect.
Well, then they'd have to do the High remix.
Yep, they probably would, which would be insane.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Is it going to be sort of, you know, call them street songs, call them album cuts, whatever you want. Is it going to be that? Is it going to be... Because the other flip side is, out of all the artists, like Jay has one of the larger unreleased / rare catalogs out there.
Right. So does he do Early This Morning? Like, does he... Get My Ish Off? Like,
if he does Early This Morning, I'll say this right now on the show. If he does Early This Morning, I will actually sign up and pay for a month of Tidal X. I would be a whole month. I'd be so excited. He's not doing early this morning.
Yeah, I just need him. He has to at least open up with the Dynasty intro.
He's going
to
do Dear Summer. He might do Dear Summer. He might start the whole joint out with Dear Summer.
But see, starting it off with the Dynasty intro would be about as strong as you could possibly get.
With the Dynasty intro?
Yes.
Or with just Bring Pain in the Ass Out.
That would be dope.
He will probably be there.
That would be dope.
Be crazy if Dame was there, but Dame ain't going to get close to him because he's a snitch. He's an informant.
and that's what I was thinking. Like, if Payne comes out, then it's already going to set the tone that like it's going to be a rock reunion. So I mean, I think he recently brought out Young Guns and Freeway. Like that's easy and bleak. Yeah. But like everybody, of course, like you said, Dre, like we want to see Siegel come out.
Dog, like, he brings Beans out. Where's the concert going to be? It's in New York, right? Yeah.
Somewhere in New York. They haven't announced the venue.
Dog, I'm almost going to bet that.
That's a pretty safe bet.
I hope so. I like my rapper's friends. So, anything else about Tidal?
No, I think I'm good.
What else? What else we got?
You want to talk about Mayweather Pacquiao at all?
The only thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to make this quick because I actually want to move on to something else. The only thing I want to say is that as somebody who knew that was going to happen and was trying to like warn people for 5 years that what was going to happen, like it wasn't as sweet as I thought it was going to be. Like I really felt bad that it was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Those who watch boxing and understood like what that matchup was going to produce. But you know, as a nerd, like I'm going to clock Radio Speakers the fight in a couple days when I get some free time and just break it down. But other than that, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't have anything else to say.
What about you, Dre? Did you watch the fight at all?
Nah, man, I don't even watch boxing no more like that, man. I mean, I knew what was going on, but I didn't really care either way.
What did y'all think about the controversy? People calling for, you know, boycott the fight because of Mayweather's, frankly, criminal history. What did you think about that?
Shoot, then we should stop watching all sports and, you know, not vote and not, I mean, geez, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to like single out Floyd. Like if we're going to do that, then there's a whole bunch of things that we need to boycott and separate ourselves from.
I mean, for me, it's really that the difference with boxing is like, so like if there's an NFL player that has run-ins with the law, has, in this case, a history of domestic violence, he's one player on a team. And you can kind of, I mean, to me, that's, a, I mean, maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but it's very different than, like, literally every buy for that pay-per-view, like, a chunk of that went to Mayweather. Like, you were literally, like, voting with your wallet, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's not like Mayweather's like one of the eight people on a basketball or one of the five starters on a basketball team and you're rooting for the team. Like it's Mayweather and Pacquiao. That's it. So I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
No, not buying it.
I mean, I understand it. Like okay. I'll say that much. I understand why people did not choose to watch and why they didn't support because of that. I get it. And that's cool. Like, all right, that's cool. Like that's your choice. Like, go ahead, rock out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, on the flip side, people are also going to say, you know what, that doesn't bother me, or you know, personal life aside, he's a great boxer, and I want to, you know, see this fight. You know, that's America. So,
all right,
that was it for me.
Okay,
what else? It's my Red Cafe impression. Ha, those exist.
Wow, Red Cafe. So for all five people listening to the show. You want to talk real quick NBA?
Yeah, let's talk NBA. Never broke again.
Never broke. So the Thunder got a new coach.
Yes, Dre.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Y'all were trying to steal my coach. I was talking to
the guy at the Turnpike right now. And he said he's listening to Westbrook complain about it. Appreciate you, sir. Westbrook didn't want him to go, man. And I had a feeling that was going to be the case. A lot of people were saying that KD and Westbrook had something to do with it, but I just couldn't see that. Like, I don't get it, man. It's madness, dog. I don't know anything about this new coach at all.
You never heard of Billy Donovan?
I didn't say I never heard of him. I'm just saying I don't know anything about him. Like, I don't. I'm not. Like, I don't. you know, when you're watching basketball, you're more into the actual players. So as a coach, like, I'm not really I know more about Scott Brooks because he played for the Rockets, like, and I knew his pedigree of what he would kind of bring. You know, even though I didn't see the plays he was, you know, drawing up, if there were any plays, because we didn't really.
but, that's why you fired him.
I mean, there is a whole staff, though. I mean, you know, it's not all on. I know he's the head guy as far as, like, the head coach, you know, the top coach, and he has to take the boot. But at the same time, like, if there was an issue, it should have been addressed. Like, I didn't warrant him getting fired, man. Like, that's what, I mean, the NBA is a cold business. Like, and I kind of see how, you know, Harden, the transaction with Harden happened now. Like, Sam Presti is, I didn't know anything about him really either until that transaction where you start hearing, like, you know, that's kind of his personality is just, you know, once you make up your mind with him, you know, it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? There is no negotiations. And so I just don't feel like there was enough discussion. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, you know, this is the way we're moving. We're thinking about the future. It is what it is. You know, you had a great run. It just didn't feel like what people, you know, what we perceived the Thunder as, like, as a family, and that doesn't seem like family to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know this is a business at the end of the day, but it's not like, I mean, what did he do that was so wrong? You feel what I'm saying?
He wasn't a very good coach. I mean,
nah, man, come on, man.
I'm serious. Like, I mean, people have been wondering for a long. I mean, at least outside. I mean, granted, I'm not really paying attention to Oklahoma media and TV and newspapers and all that, but like the national media has been wondering why he didn't get fired years ago.
Yeah, but there's been people that have been wondering when we're going to, you know, before like this season when he had no choice, but when are we going to get rid of Westbrook? People was talking about getting rid of Westbrook, and it's because of, you know, him learning. Scott Brooks is learning how to be a coach. He came to a losing team,
right,
turned it around, got him to not only the playoffs, but we made it to the show. Like, we were there. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't just one time. Like, we were a premier team in not just the Western Conference, but the NBA period. So that doesn't add up, bro. There was something else there. Like, I understand, okay, he's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, there should have been more conversation. Like, you know, it just did. I mean, come on, man. Like, he's not a good. You're not a good coach. He's been there for how long? You know what I'm saying? Like, that should have been you should know that off rip.
Yeah,
you know,
that's actually part of the weirdness is why fire him this year? I mean, what happened this year wasn't really his fault. It was injuries.
So, exactly.
Like, I don't disagree with you that this is a weird year. I mean, for me, it's just I think what it is. I mean, they're going to feel the pressure that if they don't do everything they possibly can to at least get far in the playoffs next year, they're afraid that Durant's leaving.
Well, he's leaving for sure now. Like, I mean, people don't understand how close, like, that team was.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, what I would say is look at what happened to the Warriors. Like, those players went to bat for Mark Jackson last year, and I don't see – Curry doesn't look like he cares. Like, he's not looking back. He's MVP. They're the best team in the league. Like, sometimes, you know
– What was his contract like, though? I mean, did he have – I don't even know. I don't know. Right. I'm really asking where he was as far as.
No, he's still under contract. It's not like it is with Durant, but still, I mean, Mark Jackson was good to get. Mark Jackson was a really good coach to get that young team to be a good team. But.
Absolutely.
And I think Brooks is the same way. And whatever team hires him, they should have a young squad with a bunch of talented guys who haven't done much yet to try to mold them. Like, he'd be really good at that. I think what everybody thinks, at least what a lot of people think Brooks isn't good at doing, at least not yet, is to take a really good team and win a championship.
Yeah, he's not Popovich.
Right.
He's not Popovich. But what I'm saying, so, like, you just can't – this. I feel like what you're saying is correct in that they viewed Scott Brooks as the longest interim coach in NBA history.
Yeah.
Like, they viewed him as the stepping stone. Like, your job is to mold these guys to get us to premier status, and then we're going to fire you, and we're going to get somebody else in that is a little bit, has a little bit more experience, and also, you know, is just a little less gentler than you are and passive. I do feel like Scott Brooks was passive at times. He let the players be the players, but that was also because he was a player. Like, he knows, you know, what he knows personalities, you know what I'm saying? So that's one thing that scares me about getting a coach, you know, like take Popovich or a Sloan or one of these old school coaches that don't care how many points you score a game. You're one of my players. Like, Westbrook is not going to stand for that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've already seen him to Scott Brooks. We've already seen him sit on the bench and act like a little baby. And I'm not saying he hasn't matured, but I just hate to see what's going to happen when he has a coach that's not scared to get in his face. Like, can you imagine? I mean, I've seen Popovich get in his player's face. You know what I'm saying? Not Duncan or Parker. So, like, can you imagine if somebody got in Westbrook's face, like what that would do? Because he's not, again, you're dealing with a bunch of different personalities. And you got to know how to balance that. It's more than just drawing them X's and O's. So I don't think that they made a good decision. Like, I feel like Scott Brooks was the perfect. I think they should have got a better staff, a better supporting coach and staff. But it's just like in parenting, you know, with me specifically, like my wife is the more gentler, you know, grace. She has a lot more grace and patience. She's actually mellowed me out, and I've learned from her just as much as she's learned from me. So, like, in a coaching situation, it's just not on the head coach. Like, you got to look around at the other people on the bench, too, and say, hey, maybe we need somebody that's going to add to this. Because if you get somebody in, it's just going to be abrasive. Like, that could screw up the whole thing to where not only could it hurt the season, but, I mean, it's going to hurt the franchise when Durant leaves and Westbrook leaves. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen. Now, it just gave them an excuse to say, you know, we don't really have any ties here anymore. You know, we're going to see what's going to pan out now. But when my contract is up, I'm going to think a little bit harder about the bigger markets more than I would have if Coach Brooks was here.
I think the only thing that matters is if they can win a title. And if the Thunder thought that they got a better shot with this guy, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But if that's the thinking, I don't fault them at all.
I think for the upper management and Sam Presti, that's what they're thinking, because, I mean, ultimately it's a business. They have one job. But I'm not saying that players don't think that way as well, but the relationship between a coach and a player, you know, I mean, it's not like they were losing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were getting to the end, and yes, they lost, but they were climbing each year. They were improving each year. Westbrook is a totally different player than he was, you know, 4 years ago. So it wasn't on a decline. So I don't think that they were, you know, upset at Coach Brooks. Like, I just don't see that. Like, it's not justified to me. Like, there's nothing there. You know, I could see if there was a decline in something. You know what I'm saying? Like you said earlier, like, I mean, the stuff that happened this year, he couldn't help that. Like, it was people getting hurt. You know, transactions being made, like, that wasn't his doing. And even Sam Presti came out and even said to the public, I don't know if you heard his statement, but he said this decision isn't based on Coach Brooks's performance in this year.
Yeah.
It's not based on that. This decision was based on where we're trying to go in the future. So it was strictly, and he also said that he didn't consult Durant or Westbrook in making a decision. So it's like, this was truly a business decision, a hard business decision that only, you know, him and his, you know, whoever else is on the management team was a part of. So I just don't, you know, from a player coach relationship, from that perspective, I don't feel like it should have happened, because now you, not saying that they're not going to play harder or as hard as they have, but that's going to always be in the back of their mind. My mom and dad weren't together, but, you know, she would have boyfriends. And if my dad came around, and then when he left, I treated the boyfriends different now, because, you know what I'm saying? It's like that whole, they're going to treat that coach a little bit different, I feel. My opinion.
Armand, you've been really quiet. What do you think?
I agree.
With who?
I mean, I don't think it was fair to fire Scott Brooks, you know, especially after this season. Because if you remember, this year, this was the year that I said that, like, the Thunder, like, they had a shot. Like, I thought they were going to do it. I thought Durant was going to have an amazing year. I thought they were going to have a Splash Brothers times 10-esque season. But, you know, they couldn't stay healthy, and I was actually shocked. I just looked up and saw, oh, they didn't make the playoffs this year. It's weird not seeing, you know, Durant and Westbrook in May and June. And I don't think that all falls on Scott Brooks. They've been calling for his head for a few years, but sometimes I really think that in sports, people look at they want a quick fix. And they're just like, fire the coach. Trade the superstar. But, you know, sometimes a thing that keeps a team from going over the hump is a little more detailed than that. And sometimes it's good to, like, ride that team out with those quote unquote deficiencies and try to make the best of it, add some other players, maybe get rid of some lower tier stuff, make some adjustments in the front office. Who knows? But I don't think it was time for Scott Brooks to go. And I'm not really big on college coaches coming to coach. You know, it's going to be, you know, Jason, I know he wasn't a college coach, but it's going to be why Jason Kidd didn't work in Brooklyn. You know, like, we're not going to listen to you. Who are you?
Conversely, you know? Jason Kidd's working out really well in Milwaukee, but.
Because there's a bunch of young players around right. him who remember, you know, who were wearing Jason Kidd shoes, you know, playing ABC camp. So, right. you know, it's a different dynamic than when you've got Kevin Garnett and Paul Williams. Pierce on your team yeah. and Darren Williams and Joe Johnson. And these guys are just as old, if not older than you. So I don't know if it's going to work, especially with Billy Donovan. Like, I briefly, vaguely kind of sort of know what he did at Florida. I know they won a championship there. But, you know, I guess the only thing to say with all that being said is we'll see, I suppose. You know, who else is going to get fired this year? Is Chicago going to fire Thibs this year?
It's funny, right? If they mess around and surprise Cleveland, it's gonna be really hard for them to get rid of Thibs,
right?
Which they are.
Yeah, I think they beat Cleveland this year. I think so.
It'll be close. It'll be close. Like, so the real interesting thing is, and somebody did a good job of breaking this down in the first round. When Rose has 2 days in between games. So far in the playoffs, his numbers are outstanding. When it's only 1 day of rest in between games, he does not look remotely the same. So the schedule will be key for that. Like, so that, I'm not surprised at all that game one that they played well. And really, the Cavs just gotta. I mean, you know, Kevin Love's not coming back, so they gotta figure it out.
I mean, they didn't have J.R. Smith too.
Right, right. That'll help a little bit too. But no, I mean, LeBron's going to have to be LeBron, so we'll have to see if that can happen. But at the very least, I mean, I think it'll be an entertaining series.
Yep. Yep. So whoever wins this series goes to the finals, right? Like, nobody's...
No, they go to the conference finals.
Right, but I think what Armand's saying is that neither Atlanta nor Washington...
Gotcha.
I don't know. Yeah. If it ends up being Chicago-Washington, hypothetically, I don't know who I would take in that.
Gotcha. I don't want Paul Pierce in the NBA finals.
You got some hate in your blood?
A lot for wheelchair Paulie. Nah,
wheelchair.
It's just not gonna happen. Like, nope. I will call Benzino.
Oh,
I know. Low blow. Sorry, guys.
It's good. Amazingly, even though I live in New England, I'm not a Celtics fan. But man, any Celtics fan who listened to this, just like their heart just hurt a little bit after hearing that. That's harsh, man.
Try to ball like Paul Pierce. I Benzino you up. Bars.
Stop it.
anything else? Curry winning MVP.
I'm not surprised.
So?
All right.
Dre, did you expect someone else to win, or was that about right?
Durant.
This is why I can't take that whole conversation we just had about Scott Brooks seriously.
No, there were some jewels in there though. Like, I might have been thinking with my heart a little bit, but there were some jewels in there.
No, I'm just playing, man. But no, for real. You think would you have voted for Westbrook?
No, I mean, because he didn't play a complete season. Like, I feel like that's important. He missed a lot, but he did a lot when he was on the court. He had some good runs, but Curry has just been, you know, he's been amazing. And I think, you know, what he did to Chris Paul kind of put him over the edge, even though, I mean, it was just a play and a move. But in my book, I'm not talking about with the NBA, but in my book, that was like, okay, all right, like, this dude is for real. Like, because just some of the stuff that he does is reminiscent of, you know, the basketball that I grew up on. Like the stuff that you couldn't do or you had to practice for hours to try to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, same way, you know, they always say basketball is similar to, you know, rap and basketball and kind of go hand in hand, where you got everybody wanting to be a rapper now because, like Chuck D said, you know, back in the day, it used to be superheroes. Like, you would see something and be like, man, or hear something and be like, man, this dude is crazy. I can't do that. But now everybody thinks they can do it. So what Curry did, you know, it's just, to me, it's reminiscent of that, to where I'd be like, man, I have to go out. I got to go outside. If I was a kid, I had to go outside and try to practice that over and over and over. And I still wouldn't get it.
Right. At this point, he needs that equivalent of that AI commercial. With the crossover.
Yep.
Like,
you know. Yep. That's perfect. Like, that's exactly what it feels like back when, you know, a move put you on the map. Like, you know, we know El Amin for one thing. And I still try to do his move to this day. Like, that's the only thing people really know him for. Is one move. Or not El Amin. I'm sorry, Sham God.
I was gonna say El Amin. You're talking about a cult hero in my state.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. Not El Amin. Sham God. The Sham God move that he had, like the throw out the ball with one hand and then cross over with the opposite hand and all that. Like, just back when dudes had moves, like, he's bringing that feel back to, like, actual moves involved. It's not just, you know, run up and down. I mean, does he have any moves? Like, I mean, think about the Dream Shake.
LeBron has a move where he puts his head down and runs full speed. That's his move.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, bro.
He learned that from your man Dwayne Wade, who personified, who really was the early James Harden, who learned real early, if I get to the line, it's a whole different game.
Yep, I agree. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, except, of course, Harden can shoot threes, but, you know.
Right, yeah. That's why Miami shut Harden down, was because they kind of, I mean, he was basically D-Wade. They knew all his tricks.
Anything else you want to talk about for the playoffs, NBA?
Nah, let's move on. We've definitely covered a lot of NBA. Is there anything else on our schedule?
We should probably get into the real reason why Dre's on the show.
We probably should. Well, for one, Dre just came out with a new album.
Okay.
Southern Lights Exposed with Alex Faith, correct?
Overexposed.
Overexposed, my bad. My bad.
Dang, dog.
No, I know. Like, I don't have the album, and, like, I wasn't listening.
Nah.
Like, Dre's not my friend. I'm sorry.
Not after that.
Look, I have friends pronounce it K-Rose. So.
Can we get
and I gave him a pass. Like, I know it's Greek, dog. It's Greek.
Did we get served with this album?
So I wanted to have Dre on this show because it actually kind of came out of a simple conversation he and I were having. It was originally, I think it was first about Jay, and then it transcended into a conversation about Wayne, and you begin to break down Wayne's career circa Squad Carter, because I think you either are or are not a fan of that era, Carter.
Talking to me or Dre?
Dre.
No, I said the old Wayne was better than the new Wayne, in my opinion.
Okay. Which then led us to begin kind of talking and reminiscing about the Hot Boys and the run they had, and how the argument used to be putting them in order. And I think you and I came to an agreement on that order, and you posted it on Twitter. And what was that order?
I forgot now, man. Like, it might change now.
Wasn't it Was it BG, Wayne, Juvie, Turk?
Yes, yes. No. Yes. Did I have Juvie third? I know Turk was last.
Yeah, of course, Turk was last. Yeah.
But I had Juvie third?
I think so.
That sounds right.
I'm only saying that because you gave a lot of credit, and we're jumping way ahead.
Yeah. But
you gave a lot of credit to Lights Out.
Yes, one of my all-time favorite albums.
About how good the album was. So, long story short, we all decided that we wanted to, you know, do a retrospective on Cash Money. So, you know, we wanted to get Dre in for his expertise, and. Basically, I'm just gonna reminisce. Like, I'm biased. I'm just letting y'all know right now. Like,
I'm gonna be playing the role of a disgruntled New York hip hop head.
That's hilarious.
Because I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was listening to some of the stuff, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's why I didn't like that." So,
You got scared when that "Welcome to Magnolia" came on, didn't you?
Nah, actually. No, it's really interesting. Like, so to me, there are definitely like very distinct eras of Cash Money. So the era that I admittedly know the least about is essentially like up to 98. So that initial round, like those truly like independent, smaller budget years before they had the big deal and before Juvie broke through with 400 Degrees. Like, yeah. That's the era I admittedly don't know the most about.
Well, I remember a lot of us. You know, a lot of our first introduction was High, and then in turn we went back and found out, oh, okay, you know, they have other stuff. So, you know, then you heard about both the BG It's All On You Volume 1. Then you found out that Mac was on that album with a song called Niggas in Trouble, which is one of my favorite Cash Money records ever. Then you go back even further and find out that BG was originally BG and Wayne in a group called the BGs. Then
and
you
that
also
wasn't their name either.
What was their name?
Juvie and Biggie.
Say that again and cut out.
BG was Little Doogie.
Yeah.
And Wayne was Baby D. Wayne, because his middle name are for Dwayne, basically.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, they were, wow. So that album, that first album by the BGs called True Story came out in 95. BG was 14 and Wayne was 12.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it got reissued in 99 as BG and not BGs.
Yep.
Because Wayne's mom didn't like him cursing.
Yep. I remember that. So yeah, I don't think we're gonna talk much about that era, 91 to 98, although we'll probably go back and reference it.
Okay.
But we can start and say, you know, Dre, what was your first introduction to Cash Money? Was it High? Or was it something else?
No, it was the independent days. When I was in high school, I went to one of my little league football coach's nephew played at LSU, so we got to take a trip to LSU because one of my partners was getting recruited fine for football, and I just remember I was in one of the dorm rooms, and he had one of the big timers. I think it was volume one
How You Love That?
How You Love That. There you go. And I was like, man, what is this? And he was like going crazy when he realized that I didn't know what it was. And he put it in. He was like, man, you know, this is the hottest thing out right now, yada, yada, yada. I was like, man, I never even heard of him. And from there, it took me kind of like on a hunt because at that time, it was like, you know, I knew, you knew about No Limit by that time. And then I was kind of easing into listening to I was kind of it's like a lot of East Coast stuff. Fresh. You just go on a search, at least if you're like a nerd like I am, you just go on a search for what else is out there. And so I went on a search, and then Soulja Rags popped, even in Houston. And that was like Juvie's first Cash Money below was Soulja Rags, and the single Soulja Rags was like a hit everywhere. So from there, you know, like there wasn't any internet really. I mean, there was internet, but it wasn't like popping like it is now. So it was all about, you know, going to the store and just searching stuff. And all of the Cash Money stuff was distributed by, and there was a couple of stops. So all of their catalog used to be in spots in Houston. And you could just go, you know what I'm saying? Like I had the first Hot Boy joint on tape.
Get It How You Live?
The Get It How You Live joint. I had that on tape before the CD started really popping like that. So anyway, that was my first introduction. And from there, I just started digging and just researching the independent stuff. And then after that, I found out about them right before they signed that deal with Universal in 98 at all.
What about you, Doc?
Actually at that time I was living in Oklahoma, but honestly, like most people, it was Ha, right? I mean, the video for Ha was like you could not escape it. It was all over Rap City. And it was such a unique sounding song, right? I mean, like that's I feel like that became like an over sort of a, almost like a trope. Like people would always talk about, you know, whether it's Juvie's flow or sort of like the bounce feel or whatever. But like it truly, like, I mean, compared to what else, everything else was out, if you really weren't listening to what No Limit was, if you really weren't listening to what Cash Money was doing, you're just like, what is this? Like it was just completely different. So I very clearly remember Ha.
Yeah.
And that's the same for you?
For me, it was my sister had a friend who was from New Orleans that she went to high school with. And like Dre said, everybody was pretty much, I lived in Colorado at the time, so like it wasn't no nothing out there. But the cool thing about regional hip hop is you could go somewhere else and like hear absolutely nothing that you saw on Rap City or, you know, MTV Jams or anything like that. So it happened at the same time. Her friend went to New Orleans and we went to St. Louis for the summer. And there's two records that I heard at the same time. I heard Soulja Rag and I was late to the party. I snuck into some college party. My cousin snuck me in a college party and they played it and the crowd went crazy. And then they also played Big Ballin', but I had already heard Big Ballin' because they were playing Big Ballin' on St. Louis radio. And then shortly thereafter, my sister's friend came back with How You Love That Volume 2. He had bought my sister the tape or bought her the CD because of how crazy, you know, Big Thomas was at the time or whatever. So Soulja Rag was cool, but I was always, you know, I guess the Clock Radio speaker side of me was always present because I began to gravitate to Soulja Rags because I saw what it did to other people. So sometimes I would go to the club or go to parties and just see what records did what to what people. But Big Ballin', like that was my joint. Like I loved that record. And it was always weird because, you know, people mistake me for being from New York all the time and, you know, super backpack hip hop, you know, Wu-Tang is for the children. I was in all that stuff. But, you know, whoa, Kimo Sabe, like that's it. And then Ha came shortly thereafter and that video was just amazing to me. I it immediately made me buy 400 Degrees straight up.
What?
Like I had to hear it.
What's crazy about like the summer of 98? I felt like because it's funny, like this, we're bringing in threads from like all these different shows that we've done before, but like as a contrast to, I feel like how hip hop now is now, you're right. Like that regionalism where like you could hear something completely different. And then some of that stuff really started to break through. So like Rap City or MTV Jams or whatever in the middle of 98 was completely different. Like you had, whether it's like something like Super Thug, which sounded completely different, or what DMX was doing, which sounded completely different, or yep, what Juvie was doing. Like these were very weird and sort of different sounds that were sort of melting together. Like we hadn't gotten to this place where everybody was doing pseudo trapeats.
Yep. You weren't going to have a down south rapper, you know, rap over a Primo track. Like it just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
You weren't going to have a West Coast guy, you know, rap over something that swing that sounded like a Suave House or I take that back. No West Coast Suave House. That's bad. You weren't going to hear like a West Coast dude over like Miami bass.
Right.
you know, and you weren't going to hear an East Coast guy over, you know, something that sounded like, you know, some 8-Ball MJG Tila, you know what I'm saying? So everybody's sound was regionally different. It was this great summer 98 was a really, really dope melting pot. It was a really dope melting pot. Easily fit 2 hours of Rap City. So,
right.
So like, do we need to stop right here?
We should probably stop right here because we really should probably be able to talk like going on starting with 400 degrees. Like if we're really going to do a retro, and hopefully Dre's okay with this, but like if we're really going to do a retro, like we should probably make sure we can dedicate enough time to actually talk about this. Right.
I'm down with that as well.
All right. So hopefully this little reminiscence sort of got you all thinking. And if you're listening and you're a fan of that first run of Cash Money, you know, go back. I'll tell you, a lot of this stuff is not on Spotify. So you got to, you know, go. But the weird thing is, of course, YouTube has everything. So you might have to go to YouTube, might have to go dig up your old CDs. But go back and listen, because next week we're going to really start going in depth on that first big run that made Cash Money what they were. So Armand, anything else you want to talk about, or is that it?
Nah, man, I'm good.
So I want to thank Dre Murray for joining us. I know we had some connection issues, and I'm not going to lie. I have no idea how much of this will end up in the final. Like obviously Dre will be on it, but it's going to be some editing, but either way, appreciate Dre being on. Dre, you want to plug your project? Where can people go get your new album?
iTunes, stay away from Spotify. go directly to iTunes.
You want some money. I don't blame you.
I'm not gonna see no money off of that, but I would definitely want you to purchase the project. You can stream it first, but you know, purchase it if you like it. But iTunes, the project is Southern Lights, Overexposed, or just look up Alex Faith and Dre Murray and check it out, man. So you know, we were thinking a lot about the Southern, some of the things that we were talking about, you know, today on this podcast. Just reminiscent of that a little bit. I mean, with an updated twist. So,
yeah, if you're gonna stream the project, just go to collision-records.com.
Yeah,
like they shot a visual album, and it's nuts. Like the idea of it and the execution of it are amazing. So, like, sit down, get some popcorn, and like watch. And visually experience it, and then go to iTunes and copy it. Like I promise, it'll make your purchase a whole heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Because I'm not a good plugger, man. So I appreciate that.
No doubt. I just did what I did. That's exactly what I did. Like I was already gonna get it, but the movie made it a whole heck of a lot easier.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So we'll get Dre's
project. You copped it, Doc? Did you cop it already? You got it? You listened to it like 5 times already, Doc?
I admit I have not listened to it yet.
I'm just messing with you.
Nah, I'm being honest. I haven't heard it.
Nah, I'm messing with you. I can send it to you. I would like your opinion on it. Like, I respect your opinion. So
yeah, I'll listen to it. I mean, I can certainly go listen to it for the free on Spotify.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. Or you could download Tidal.
All right. You know what? That's a good place to end this week's episode. So thank you all for listening. The Clock Radio Speakers. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. You'll find this episode on 4thDistrict.com. Shout out to them. And anything else you want to say, Armand?
I'm good, man. See y'all next week.
All right. See y'all next week.